You're listening to the Financial Framework Show with the man who can show you how to be debt-free. Now, here's Steve Barfield on WGAA, 1340 AM, the Big Double A.
Hey, guys, I hope you all are having a good afternoon. And if you're driving out there, make sure that you're paying attention to the road. And if you miss anything on the show today, you can go to the Financial Framework Show website and listen to the recorded broadcast. Your safety is the most important thing. Now, the web address is www.financialframeworkshow.com. That's www.financialframeworkshow.com. Look in the top right-hand corner for the login button, and there you'll see the WGAA radio section. The Financial Framework Show will be a 30-minute weekly broadcast every Wednesday at 3 p.m., and shortly after this, it will then change into an hour format with live call-in questions. Now, if you have any questions before then, please send me an email at steve@financialframeworkshow.com, and I will answer them for you. We will read some of the questions on the air so that the other listeners can benefit from the information. And remember, there is no such thing as a stupid question. In fact, the only stupid question is the one that's not asked. Now, each week, I'm going to teach you the things that we should have been taught in school. And think about this. How many of you listening today were taught how to dissect a frog in high school? Now, the question is, how many have you dissected since high school? Have you ever thought about why we were not taught about how to set up a family budget or how money works and other financial information that it takes for us to make it in life financially? Well, I don't know what the answer is, but it's so important for us to know about money and how it works. And I want to help you realize a dream of being financially free. I feel that God didn't put us on this earth to be in bondage to debt. And we cannot accomplish our purpose if we're strapped with debt. The Financial Framework Show, it will be for people who are doing well financially and also for the ones who are struggling. Each week, we will cover parts of the Financial Framework Seminar, and you will be trained on the different financial issues that will help you avoid mistakes and put you in a position to make wise financial decisions. Now, in getting started, the first thing that I will hit on today is attitude. And I'll talk about this every week because, you know, attitude is everything. Your attitude controls who you are and what you become. If you think you can, you can. And if you think you can't, you're right. Every morning when you wake up and open your eyes, you determine how your day is going to be. And I know from personal experience that when you're behind the eight ball, it is difficult to maintain a good attitude. But I also know firsthand that having a bad attitude will never give you positive results. Now, as you're listening to the Financial Framework Show, you must make up your mind you're going to listen, learn, and implement the important financial lessons that you're going to be taught. One more point about attitude. There is a direct connection to money and your attitude. Think about this. When your bills are paid and you have some money in your pocket, how is your attitude? It's pretty good usually, isn't it? On the other hand, when you're struggling to make ends meet and stay broke all the time, then how's your attitude then? And if you're like we were in the past, it was real tough to keep a good attitude. So, I intend to show you how to put a plan in place to become debt-free, to learn how to properly budget your hard-earned money and know where it's going each month. And this new feeling of being in control, it will help you maintain a good attitude at all times. Now, I'm going to go over some questions through this segment that I feel like is very important for you to know some of this information up front. Is debt or the lack of money the number one cause of divorce in our country? Now, this is sad, but correct. The devil is now using debt to destroy more families than he's using drugs and alcohol. And you see, he cannot get into a good Christian family with drugs, but he can get to us with debt. The unsuspecting family, they will take out a credit card and then another one, with full intentions of using credit cards the way they were intended to be used, which is to pay them off each month. Then life happens, as you know it always does. And they wind up not paying them off each month. They wind up paying the credit card company 20 to 30% interest on this borrowed money. And after the credit card companies, after this, they will then add on whatever late fees and penalties they can conjure up. And before you know it, the family realizes that they have a problem. And the devil's tool is working so well, it is the number one destroyer of families in our country. Currently, the average family has more than 10 credit cards. Now, you might ask yourself, how is this possible? Well, the answer is simple. With the economy the way it is, with Americans buying things that we don't need, even living above our means, both spouses wind up having to work just to make ends meet. Both spouses have gas cards, Visas, and MasterCards, and department store cards. And if you think about it, it's easy to see how a family can have 10 credit cards. And I personally know a good Christian couple that are clients of mine, and I found out that they had 62 active credit cards. They both had just about every credit card you can imagine. I think that every time they went into one of the department stores, the cashier would probably let them know that they could get an additional 10% off if they would apply for the credit card. And evidently, they must have taken them up on every offer. And I don't think that they really thought about the 10% signing bonus being only a one-time deal, and that the 20 and 30% interest that they were going to pay, it was going to be an every-month thing, probably forever. You see, the average family currently also has $10,679 of credit card debt. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot about credit cards today because we will do a whole segment on the devil's number one tool over the next couple of weeks. I just wanted to bring out what debt is doing to our country and to our families, which is where I wanted to go next with this segment. We have already talked about how attitude and money has a direct correlation. We've also talked about how the devil can infiltrate a good, hardworking Christian family using his number one tool of choice, credit cards. Now, let's look at who is really paying the price. When the stress of debt begins to hit the family, both spouses feel like the weight of the world is on their shoulders. People begin to feel like losers. They feel like they're the only ones in the world who's going through this. They feel embarrassed, and it is real easy for them to give up hope. At this point, it's real critical. A couple, they will either become closer or it will drive them apart. And sadly enough, most couples let this temporary problem destroy their family. Now, remember us talking about attitudes and how important a good attitude is. When a family gets to this point, they lose their ability to think clearly and become irritated and even mad in most cases. The children in the homes see right before their eyes their parents change. They see their parents act different. Their parents are short-tempered, easy to fly off the handle. They see arguments, which turns often into fights. You see, this money worry is now transferred to them. They have thoughts about their parents' mistakes that you make today will be magnified many times over in the future. You see, this one circumstance, this one financial mishap, can change your children's futures forever. It can change who they currently are and what they will become in the future. So, the devil has infiltrated this godly home with his tricks and his tactics. The marriage is on the rocks or maybe over, and the kids will never fully recover from this period of their lives. So this one mistake of letting debt get out of control, this one simple mistake will have everlasting effects on all who is involved. Now, I cannot fix your current situation this very minute, but I can help you get control, and I can also show you how you can be debt-free. And I can tell you how not to let this one hiccup ruin your family and possibly your children's futures. So far, you don't know a lot about me. In the next Financial Framework show, I'm going to go in detail about who I am and how I'm qualified to help you with your financial picture. Now, I'm not going to wait until next week to finish this last segment, though. My wife, Teresa, and I, we were married and had three kids and a mortgage by the time we were 19 years old. Now, I'm not kidding about this, and next week I'll go into full details with you about this. But I want you to know that I have walked in your shoes, whether you're struggling or doing pretty well in life. Teresa and I had to learn everything the hard way. We didn't start off behind the eight ball. We started off under it. And one thing that was a true blessing from God is that we realize that our children didn't need to know anything about our money woes and our bad finances. They didn't need to know that we're struggling, how we were basically penniless most of the time, and that we didn't know from day to day if we were going to keep our home. This is what I want you to hear, and this is a new action that I want you to take. When Teresa and I would have one of our arguments, one of our knockdown dragouts about money, or really and truly the lack of it, we never did argue in front of our children. We always held ourselves together until they were out in the yard playing or asleep. Then we would release this frustration and disappointment about our financial lives. We never, and I mean never, argued about money in front of our children. Now I want you to pay attention to this, and I want you to think about the consequences of your action. Think about the long-term effects and what it will do to your children if they're constantly bombarded with this problem. Our children are now 36, 35, and soon be 34 years old. Our oldest daughter, Toni, she told us years later when we talked about how we worked real hard to shelter them from our financial woes. She said that they, her brother and sister, they thought we were rich. Now, I don't understand how in the world they could have thought this. I guess we sheltered it pretty good. But this was definitely a much better message to them than, oh no, you know, we're losing our home, our world's about to come to an end. So we did use our heads on that part. Growing up is tough enough for children, and we're adults, and we brought them into this world, and it is our responsibility to do everything that we can for them to have a normal, happy life. And I hope I hear amen on that, because we have got to do all we can to protect our children. Now, another question, and this is an important one because we hear this a lot. Should people sell their homes to get out of debt? There has been a lot of talk lately telling people that it is wise to sell their home and pay off debt. Well, let me set this straight right now. This is the dumbest thing that a family could ever do. Owning a home is a true American dream, and keeping your home should be your first priority and a direct responsibility to your family. If you sell your home to pay off unsecured debt, I mean, where are you supposed to live? Are you going to rent and pay someone else's mortgage? Are you going to move back home with your parents? This does not make sense and would be the absolute wrong action to take. You see, in the Financial Framework Seminar, we have a system. It's called Equity Creator. And this system will show you how, on average, how to pay off your mortgage and the rest of your debts in 8 to 12 years while spending your same current monthly payments. Now, you don't have to sell your things, your golf clubs, or other items to pay off debts. You can keep your stuff and only use the amount that you're currently paying on your bills. Then you can accomplish your dream of being debt-free, and your family still has their home. There are other ramifications to this ridiculous idea of selling your home to pay off debts. What if this family has been struggling for a while and someone tells them this is a smart thing to do? There's already stress and tension between the spouses, and selling a wife's home would probably be the last straw. A female is mentally wired different than her male counterparts. A female needs security. They need a nest and a place to call home. And if the decision was made to sell this nest, this home, then I wouldn't think the marriage would have much of a chance for survival past this. I hope this makes sense to you. I hope that you understand that selling your home to pay it would actually be a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And if it's possible for you to pay off your mortgage and the rest of your debts in 8 to 12 years, why in the world would you want to sell your home anyway? Now, let me tell you about a real case that came into our office several years ago. This should give you a glimpse of how powerful the Equity Creator system really is and what it can do for families. We had a 72-year-old man, and he had a 70-year-old wife that they sent in their information to use the Equity Creator system. They had just taken out a brand new 30-year mortgage. They had 44 credit cards. Now, you're talking about a 72-year-old man, 44 credit cards, with a $172,000 balance on them. When we run their blueprint, based on their current situation, they were projected to be older than 114 years old when they would have been out of debt. Now, you know this would have been a hopeless feeling for them. It would be a hopeless feeling for anybody. But their blueprint showed them they could be totally debt-free in just 5 years, spending their same current monthly payments. Now, I'm not going to do any training right now on the system, but when a lot of money is going out each month to service debt, the faster the system can get them out of debt. It's not magic. It's only math. This couple, they have about 2 more years left, and they will be completely debt-free, and he will be somewhere around 77 or 78 years old instead of 114. Now, does this give people hope and a light in their financial tunnels? I sure think so. And this also proves the point that it's not a wise thing to sell your home to pay off debts. Another question. If someone is running behind and don't have enough money to catch up right now, are their particular debts should be paid first? When you're behind and struggling to pay your debts, it is imperative that you pay your mortgage payment first and foremost. Do not let any credit card or loan company bully you into sending them payments until you have made your mortgage and then your auto loan payments. You must protect your home and a way to get to and from work. Now, after you have paid your secured payments, which secured debt is something that could be taken back, then send the credit card and loan companies what you can afford to send. If your budget is tight, send each of them $5 or $10 a month. It is important for you to send them something each and every month. And if they deposit your payment, they're letting you know that they're accepting your payment terms. If they don't accept your payment, you have proof that you tried. Now, in the next segment, I'm going to give you some ideas and information about contacting your creditors to get some relief. If you can lower those sky-high interest rates to something reasonable, this will give you some breathing room. But in the early years of our marriage, I normally had, and this is no joke, 4 jobs that I worked either full-time or part-time. Now, I'm not a fan of taking time away from families. I think it's too important to spend time with your families. But sometimes it makes sense to pick up some extra income for a while. I know this might be difficult in this economic environment, but it still wouldn't hurt to try. Another question. What options do people have if they're behind on their debts? Should they contact a credit counseling service? Well, let's do some training here on this. The credit counseling companies, they are bombarding the airwaves night and day trying to get you to call them. And see, most people don't know anything about how they work or what their motives are. It seems in their advertising that they really care about you and they want to help. Now, I don't know how true this is, but I do know that they are a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, and this gives them the legal right to communicate with your creditors on your behalf. And after they look at your information and they make some phone calls for you, if they're able to lower your interest rates and payments, then you'll be instructed to send them a money order at the first of the month, and they will send this money to your creditors as the newly agreed upon payment terms are set up. Your credit report will also be tagged accordingly by the credit counseling service. Now, the credit counseling companies, they are paid a percentage of what you're or what they're able to collect from you by the credit card and loan companies. This is one of the ways that they're compensated. Now, in the past, you had to be at least $10,000 in debt and at least 3 months behind before they could deal with you. But we have caught credit counseling companies telling people not to make their mortgage payment and other debt payments for 3 months so that they can go into their systems. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this is not right and it's not ethical. Now, many of them also charge a fee up front, so they're getting paid by the creditors on the back end and charging you a fee on the front end. Now, and you think about that, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? In the situation where they have told you not to make your debt payments until you're 3 months behind, what they will do is they will instruct you to send them money in a money order, and they'll get you to send it to them each month, and this will take care of their fee during the time period they're trying to make you late on your bills. Now, this is not a good thing for you to do, and don't ever let anybody tell you not to make your debt payments. Always pay your bills on time if you can, and remember to always try to pay something to all of them each month, even if you're struggling. Now, if I was going to recommend a credit counseling service to you, it would be CCCS, which stands for Consumer Credit Counseling Service. They've been around for a long time, and in my opinion, they would probably be the best to work with, if this is the direction you decide to take. But I would rather you handle your situation yourself. There is no need to pay someone else a fee for something that you can do yourself. Right now, the credit card and loan companies, they are working pretty good with people to lower the interest rates and payments. And all you need to do this on your own, is to contact your creditors and let them know that you're struggling to stay afloat. Let them know that you're trying to take care of your responsibilities, but you're having a tough time. Now, if you get someone on the phone that don't seem concerned or really don't want to assist you in lowering the interest rates or payments, simply hang up and call back again. Those are big companies, and you'll not talk to the same person twice. If you try this two or three times and really don't have any success, I would ask for a supervisor. Now, be persistent on this and don't get discouraged, because if you can lower those interest rates down to something reasonable, this will give you some much needed breathing room, and it'll make it a lot easier for you to make ends meet. All right, let's go to another question. Now, the stats show us that the American population has a worse savings rate since the Depression. What are we supposed to do if we have little or no savings and really no money to save? Well, first off, the stats are correct. We are spending about 1.5% more than we actually earn. And this has been going on for decades. And on top of this, our credit cards are maxed. We have borrowed all the equity from our homes. And now the actual home values themselves have dropped as much as 20 to 40%. The American people are really in a financial mess, and I'm not talking about just the government debt. And the only thing that I feel that can save our way of life, our country, is for each and every one of us to be completely debt-free, and that includes our mortgages. You see, if we drag debt into retirement with us, this all but ensures that most people will never be able to retire and will have to work until they die. You see, debt in retirement is like oil and water. They don't mix very well. And to prove this point, let me give you an example that we use in the Financial Framework Seminar. First of all, let me explain the definition of fixed debts. Fixed debts are debts that have that you have contractually obligated yourself to pay. You have signed contracts agreeing to pay them back, like your mortgage, auto loans, credit cards, etc. They have a balance, an interest rate, and they can be paid off. Now, unlike expenses such as tithing, I feel that we should give back as much as we can, and if you think about it, everything's God's anyway. It's God's money in the first place, and we need to give him back as much as possible. We also have insurance, taxes, groceries, and I hope you get the point about this, and we call these lifestyle expenses. Now, you don't have to retire with fixed debt, but you will always have lifestyle expenses. Now, the problem is most of us have no plan and absolutely no idea how to create one. Think about this. How many people do you know who are totally debt-free? I mean, don't owe anything to anybody. In my meetings and seminars around the country over the past 15 years, I have seldom seen no more than two or three hands raised with one or two fingers up when I ask this question. It is definitely easier to get into debt than to get out of debt. We all figure out how to make a dollar, and as you well know, the problem is it don't come with an instruction booklet. Now back to the example. Now we will use a fixed debt amount of $2,600. This includes a mortgage, a second mortgage, installment debts, credit cards, and some miscellaneous debts. Now, the total lifestyle expenses are $1,400. This includes tithing, their escrow payments, taxes, insurance, because tax insurance, they'll always be due, utilities, food, insurance, gasoline, and some miscellaneous expenses. These are your lifestyle expenses. Now, with a fixed debt of $2,600 and the lifestyle expenses of $1,400, if you add those together, the total amount that is needed for survival is $4,000 per month or $48,000 per year. Now, this would be a financial burden on the far majority of Americans trying to retire. All right, now that we have the monthly obligation set, let's assume that in this example, they have a monthly retirement income coming in of $952. Now, this could be from a retirement or a pension account or maybe an average Social Security payment. We will also assume in this example that they have $250,000 that they have saved for retirement and earning maybe 5%. Now, if they drag their $2,600 of fixed debt into retirement with them, with the $952 coming in and the $250,000 nest egg, they can be retired for only 8 years and 4 months. Let me say this one more time. If they drag their $2,600 of fixed debt into retirement with them, with $952 coming in and a $250,000 nest egg, they can be retired for only 8 years and 4 months, which really means they cannot retire and will probably have to work until they die. But on the other hand, if they can pay off their fixed debts and only have their lifestyle expenses, they can retire for the rest of their lives and maintain their same standard of living. Now, to me, this is a pretty dramatic picture of that mathematically proves that debt and retirement will not work for the average family. In the seminar, though, we take this example one step further. You know as well as I do that most people will not have $250,000 saved for retirement. And remember us talking about the fact that we're not saving any money anyway. We're actually spending more than we make. Now, in the second example, we will keep the same fixed debt numbers of $2,600, the same lifestyle expenses of $1,400 for a total of $4,000 per month. We will use nest egg down from $250,000 to $50,000. Now, you will see, taking this money away, how it will dramatically change retirement outcome. Because, see, if they drag their fixed debt into retirement with them, in this scenario, they can stay retired for 1 year and 5 months, which tells us they cannot even entertain the possibility of retiring. If they pay off their $2,600 of fixed debts and only have the $1,400 of lifestyle expenses, they can stay retired for 10 years and 8 months, which is not exactly what we're working towards. But if the fixed debt is not in the scenario, if it is paid off, then we can figure out how to make ends meet. Now, keep in mind, fixed debts, your mortgages and those type things, they're not flexible unless you sell or downsize, which means that you would have to move into a smaller house or drive a less expensive car. But your lifestyle expenses, they're flexible. You can control those. In this example, your lifestyle expenses are $1,400 per month. Now, this is just a suggestion, just a way to change those around. But what if you did a little less traveling? What if you didn't use as much gasoline? Or what if you adjusted your thermostats a little, maybe in the winter and the summertime? Or what if you used coupons on a frequent basis and really look for sales? And if you were able to cut the $1,400 down per month to $1,100 per month, if you were able to cut $300 out of your lifestyle expenses per month, this one adjustment, it would allow you to retire and stay retired. So, even if you've not been able to save any money over the years, if you can get completely out of debt, then all isn't lost. You can still survive. Now, I sincerely hope that you fully understand that you have to be debt-free before you retire. Now, let me bring up one other point on this. What if you've done a good job investing over the years and have a substantial nest egg saved up? If you take a large percentage of your monthly retirement withdrawals to service your fixed debt, then what kind of return did you actually earn anyway? Not to mention all the unnecessary interest that you're paying. What happens when you're paying this interest to the creditors, it actually counters the returns that you were making on your investments in the first place. Now, I hope this makes sense and that your new mission in life is to become debt-free. Whether you're doing good or whether you're struggling, this should be your new mission in life. Now, each week, I will give you information, important information, that will have a definite impact on your financial lives. Now, it's my mission in life, and I mean my mission, is to free God's people from the bondage of debt, one family at a time. And I think if you listen to me each week, I think that you will join me in this very important crusade. Now, our time's about up today, but before we sign off, I want to encourage you to go to the Financial Framework Show website and look around. There's a lot of information on the site, not just for you, but also information for you to share with your church about the possibility of running the Financial Framework Seminar in your church. You know, it's a great tool to free God's people from the bondage of debt. Now, next week, you can catch a Financial Framework Show on Wednesday at 3 p.m., and I'm going to let you know how and why in this show that I'm qualified to help you become debt-free. And we will also dig into the evils of credit cards and the industry that's behind them. I'm telling you, this will be a good show. I hope you decide to tune in. You've been listening to the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield on WGAA 1340, the Big AA. Until next Wednesday, be safe in your travels and may God bless.